And you say, do you have a successful prayer life? Every time I talk with the Lord, I feel it's a success, okay? There's been some times I've done a whole lot of talking and it wasn't with Him, okay? And so every time I talk with the Lord, our young people need a successful prayer life. And not to be held back because of hurt and bitterness and anger in their lives, they need this, okay? Starting in verse number 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with the might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You say, I thought you had just a few verses. Well, I stopped where there was a period. It's all connected all the way down through there. And you say English will never help you. It's all connected down through. Let me give you these six things that the Apostle Paul had in his life. First of all, I believe his prayer life was persistent. They all begin with P. His prayer life was persistent. He said it in verse number 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease. I wonder how many times we've prayed and prayed and prayed and then quit. Now, this was for believers. This was for the saints and the faithful brethren, according to verse number 2, which are at Colossae. But these things that Paul was praying for, he said, I have prayed these things and I'm not ceasing to pray for these. And I thought, there's just sometimes, listen, we just need to keep praying. And you say, well, I've just prayed too long for it. No, let's keep praying. Persistent in his prayer life. Number 2, look what he said in verse number 9. It says, I do not cease to pray for you. And so I believe he was, I'll give you two words right here. I believe he was particular and personal in his prayer life. I believe in praying specifically when we're spending time with God. I believe that we ought to, as the Apostle Paul did here, he said, listen, he could have just prayed the prayer and said, I'm praying for all the saints in all the churches that I've been to. But he's reminding the saints there at Colossae. He said, I want you to know, he said, I'm being persistent in praying for you. How much of an encouragement is it when someone walks up to you and says, I've been praying for you? And then not only do they keep it generic like that, but then they go on and actually mention something specific. Well, then you know, like the text that you get, okay, it's not just I'm praying for Brother Joe. Hey, I'm praying for the request that Brother Joe gave and I'm naming it. Man, what an encouragement that the Apostle Paul was particular and personal. It's okay to pray specifically for each other. Now, we need to pray for our church as a whole, but can I say this? We need to be praying specifically for each other. Take a mental picture on where they sit as you go throughout the auditorium. See where they sit and then be able to pray through that, praying specifically for them. Now y'all are going to come in on Thursday night and everybody's going to be sitting in different places, mess up that mental picture. But Paul prayed, not listen, I believe he was successful. He said, how long do you think the Apostle Paul's prayer list was? How much do you think Paul prayed through on a daily basis? I personally knew a preacher that'd get up every morning and spend no less than 4 hours in prayer. And someone told him one day, said, brother, you got too much to do to be praying 4 hours a day. He said, I got too much to do not to be praying 4 hours a day. But sometimes we think that we're getting it all accomplished when really maybe a whole lot more could have been done if we would have just been particular in prayer. But then he said this, and I want you to see that he was passionate in his prayer. He said, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. Let me ask you something. When was the last time that the prayer life went beyond just everyday routine? And actually you prayed with a passion. You say, what's a passion? Well, let me take you back to when you were pursuing your spouse. There was a passion, wasn't there? There was a passion. I wanted to be with her. I wanted to talk with her. I wanted to be able to spend time. I wanted that relationship to be able to grow. I wonder when's the last time we approached the prayer life with that type of desire and passion that I've just got to spend some time. And Lord, He knows the desires of our heart. He knows the passion. I had another pastor say one time, this was back in Bible college, he said, we started making a rule during our prayer meeting that someone could not give a prayer request that they personally had not prayed for that week. He said, well, that's kind of strange. He said, no. He said, if they're not passionate about it, why should they put it out for everybody else to pray about it? He said, if it hasn't affected their life that they've been praying all week about it, he said, why take up the time of God's people if it's something they don't even care about to pray about all week long? And I thought, boy, the passion of our prayer life. Listen, we ought to be persistent. We ought to be personal. We ought to be passionate. But then can I say this? I believe we ought to be practical. You say, what do you mean practical? I underlined here in verse number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you know how practical we ought to be in our prayer? And I believe this, it ought to be exactly how we just prayed. I believe we ought to be so practical that I can be praying for each and every one of you, and you be praying for me. You know something? That I'd be found faithful to the Lord each and every day of my life. That I'd be pure, that I would be holy, that I would be right with Him, that my relationship with the Lord would be real. And just be practical, that in our practical Christian lives, we're praying for each other and praying practically. Listen, I don't want you to walk out of here and stumble and fall flat on your face tomorrow because of sin. So you know what I'm going to pray? I'm going to pray that you don't. I'm going to pray that you don't yield to temptation. I'm going to pray that you have control of your thought life. I'm going to pray that we have control of this little member that boasteth such great thing, the tongue. Very practical. How many of y'all agree with me that if we just take care of the simple and practical things in our lives, we'd be a whole lot better off in our relationship with the Lord? Pray practical, that, listen, would be fruitful in every good work, that it's not just on the intimate and the behind-the-scenes relationship with our Savior, but it is with the practical things that we're just living for God every day, every moment of every day, that we're living for Him and we're just real. Then I believe our prayer life ought to be powerful. The Apostle Paul is praying here in verse number 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. And I thought, Lord, I do feel bad for the Christian that has no power whatsoever in their prayer life. Now, there's a fine line between being humble because of our prayer life and becoming prideful because of our prayer life. When there's a whole bunch of I's in all of this, okay? I. Now, it's not about I. It's not about how eloquent and wonderful I can pray. It is about the power behind the prayer. That this is what God chose to do. Not because I'm some super Christian, but because there's power in prayer and we know who we're spending time with and God is able to work. And I believe He does work as a result of prayer. And then I'll give you this sixth one and I'll be done. I believe our prayer ought to be filled with and result in a whole bunch of praising. That's what he starts to do in verse number 12. And that's why you have to read all them verses all the way down through there, giving thanks unto the Father. And then he just goes down through at the end of verse number 13 and it mentions his dear son. And in case there's any question on who his dear son is, verse 14, 15, 16, and 17, and then it does continue in other sentences in verse 18, just describes exactly who his dear son is. He's the one that we have redemption through his blood. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. He is the one by which all things were created, no matter what they are, in earth or in heaven, they were created by him. He is the one that is before all things, and he's the one by whom all things consist. Just in case there's any question on who his dear son is, that's why there's a semicolon there, and every one of these next statements just tie all the way back to his dear son, his dear son, his dear son. And I believe that our prayer life ought to be filled with and be resulting in a whole bunch of praise, not to our prayer life, but to his dear son. And boy, spending time with him. And it's going to result. And listen, it's going to all point to Jesus, because we're going to be praying for things that, listen, outside of the good hand of the Lord, guess what? It's not going to be accomplished. That's where the prayer life gets to. God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. Now, I want this type of prayer life that Paul had. I don't think he's bragging on himself, but I believe he is telling the saints that are Colossae there, that are gathered together, I believe he's just telling them, listen, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I'm praying specifically for you, and this is what I'm praying for. So I've had some people walk up and say, hey, I'm praying for you. And I've often wanted to ask them, what are you praying for me for? Because there's some people, sorry, I don't want them praying for me, okay? Because I'm afraid of what they're going to be praying. Paul was able to say, listen, isn't that wonderful? You know, when it's just rolling off someone's tongue, of what they've been praying for, praying about for you, you know it's not just a show, because they've been rehearsing it before the Lord. And I believe that's what we have in take place right here with Paul. And so church, I'm so praying, not just in my life, but in our church's life, that we would have a successful prayer life. And I believe there's just some elements that we can be looking at saying, God, this is what I desire. And then apply them specifically to people that we know. Okay? And pray for people that need to be saved. We have two direct answers to prayer that have been here today. Okay? One was Aaron and Tiffany gave prayer requests at RU week after week after week. Would you pray for Ashley to be saved? You know, we haven't even publicly given God thanks and praise for all that. That's a specific answer to prayer. Specifically. So we have another one sitting back there beside Stephen. So I'm not by no means want to put accolades and pin things or embarrass anybody. Okay? But can I just ask this? And if you didn't know him, didn't know his name, anything like this, how many here at some point in the past 3 months prayed for Stephen's dad to be saved? Do you understand? That's being particular. Particular. Personal. And then seeing the results of it, not praise for any person, but praise to an almighty God, the dear Son. That's where all the glory goes. I want that type of prayer life. By the time we get done praying, it's all about Him. And it's not about us, and we take no glory for it whatsoever. So here's what we do. Now we keep praying for them that they'll learn and they'll grow and they'll be discipled. But you know what we do now? We add a couple more names on. And we pray specifically for them that God would work in a very specific way. And then we do that 7.5 billion times until God does it all. And I believe He can. Let's have a great prayer life. I want you to, and I'm not going to say get used to, maybe I'll say just don't be shocked if we just spend some more times like we did this afternoon. Not just on Thursday night. It's not just a house of prayer on Thursday, but spending some time in prayer. And we are going to follow the Lord. It's not going to be getting into a religious routine, okay? That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for God to be meeting with us through prayer. And can I say this? If you're here today and you say, man, this is strange. I want you to know the same relationship that we have with our Savior, that we can go to Him at any time and spend time in prayer with Him, is the exact same relationship that He desires to have with you. And if you're here today and you don't know Him as your personal Savior and He's not your Heavenly Father, then I would not walk out of here before you have that settled. That you're His child, He's your Father, and your life is changed. Because then we can go to Him at any time and know that He hears us and answers prayer. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll just ask this. Maybe you're here today, no one looking around, and you'd say, Pastor, that's not me. I don't have that relationship with Christ that I'd be able to go to Him in prayer at any time. I don't have that. But I sure desire that. And I'm not sure that He's my Father and I'm His child. But I sure desire that. And I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not a child of God. I'm not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. I don't have that relationship. And I'm concerned about it enough to let you pray for me. And I wonder if there'd just be one that'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need that with the Lord. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up and slip it down. I'll be having a word of prayer in just a moment. Not that my prayer would save you. You need to start that relationship with the Lord on your own. But I can pray for you. And Christians, let me ask you this, and I'm going to pray. How many of y'all would say, I want a successful prayer life like what Paul had, and I want it real between me and God every day of my life, multiple times a day? That's what I want. Would you pray that I can get that? Would you slip your hand up, Christians? That's what we need. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, thank you that because of what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, we have direct access to the Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and lives. Lord, I know we cut some things out this afternoon. It's fine, you did that. Lord, we want to follow you each and every day of our lives. We want you to be honored and glorified. Lord, we want to walk in obedience to you. And Lord, I want my relationship with you to be so real. Lord, that every moment of the day, Lord, I know that I'm with you. Lord, I pray for some of our young people, Lord, that it'd be real to them. Lord, I pray for some families that you would just work in their hearts and lives, and Lord, that you just make yourself real. And Lord, they'd see you, see what you want to do through them. And Lord, most of all, I pray for each and every one of us to be found faithful. May we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.